Sean, what's going on? I'm coming to you from my hotel room here in Munich. I do believe I am no longer jet lagged, but there's other things that I've been doing that have been a lot of fun.
That probably make you tired. I would imagine you're right there around Oktoberfest, so I'd imagine there's been a couple of beers in your itinerary and maybe some good German sustenance.
Yes, I've had some schnitzel. We were at Hofbrauhaus. I had the sausage platter, which was excellent. We had dinner Wednesday night. I can't remember the name of the place, but it was the best sauerkraut I've ever had in my life. I could literally eat an entire bowl of it. And you're not wrong about the other thing you said. The Hofbrau beer here is just excellent. It's been a good trip so far. I'm here, obviously, with the Buffalo Sabres. And just a few hours from now, we're recording this. It's in the afternoon for me, the morning for you on Friday. Just a few hours from now, the Sabres are going to be playing Red Bull Munich, opening SAP Garden here in Munich with a preseason game, the first game that Rasmus Dahlin is going to have the C on his sweater, named the captain of the Sabres. So there's been news. There's been fun. It's been an enjoyable start to the Global Series, and there's a long way to go still.
Those trips are always great, right, when you get back into the towns of Europe and the players who are there for the Sabres. It's Paterka. JJ Paterka's coming home, and it's such a thrill for them, right? Because even some of the other players that aren't from there but are closer, because they never get a chance to play in front of their families, and now they do, right? For North Americans, it's such a normal occurrence. Oh, we're going into Boston. I grew up there. All my family's going to be there. I'll show you my favorite restaurant, all of that. The Europeans very rarely get that chance, and that's why it's such a big deal for them.
It's a huge deal for JJ Paterka, and I'm glad you brought that up. Listen, I mean, obviously, the game itself, which is going to happen just a couple hours from now, some, you know, from our recording, is the big deal. He's supposed to have 45 people there, but it's the entire trip. It's bringing your team to your hometown. He lives 10 minutes in the offseason. He lives 10 minutes from SAP Garden, which is right in that Olympia Park area here in Munich. Beautiful new facility here. He's from here. He grew up here. He played for Red Bull. He's got family here. They live about 40 minutes outside of town. So this is a major homecoming for him. And the big thing for Paterka, and as it will be for a player like Andre Palat when the Devils arrive in Prague for the Global Series games against the Sabres next weekend, is you get to showcase your hometown, your what you know best, to teammates of yours that maybe they've experienced it. Maybe there's been a handful of guys that have been here or, you know, have been to Prague, but they haven't experienced it at the hands of a local, of somebody who's been there. And that's the key thing. And there's a pride factor. And there's definitely just being around JJ Paterka the last several days, you could just sense how proud he is and how honored he is that they're doing this. And I spoke with the Christian Winkler, who's the Red Bull Munich general manager, or managing director, I think is what he's called. And he brought it up too, how you know, he was talking to JJ over the summer, and Paterka told him, as they were, you know, remember, Paterka was training here all summer. He told him that he just can't believe it's happening. It's like a dream come true. And that's the stories of these global series that I gravitate towards. It's big for the market. It's huge. It's great for the NHL that they come here and they can establish and spread the wings of the fan base a little bit. But these guys that are coming back here to do it, like JJ Paterka here in Munich, Palat, you know, in Prague, it's such a big deal for them. And you see it. You see it on their faces. You don't even have to talk to them. You just see it on their faces.
It's amazing. And you're going to get to experience, I don't think you've experienced it yet, a German hockey game, which is just fantastic. The crowd is amazing. It's very soccer-ish, and I guess this is the point where I yell at you because I'm so mad that you got to go to Bayern Munich yesterday and actually get on the pitch. I would have liked to have seen you take a kick or two, but that didn't happen. But I'm so mad that you were there. Like, that's bucket list material for me. And yeah, it was totally over your head.
Now I know about the history of that football club. Now I have an idea. But you're right. It was a little bit lost on me, but I thought that was interesting too. And listen, I want to get into the Sabres stuff that we have here. And we've got interviews too that for this podcast. Jack Hughes from the New Jersey Devils, we talked to him at the Player Media Tour. They're They're going to be coming to Prague, you know, in short order. They're arriving over the weekend to play the regular season, to open the regular season against the Sabres. And also John Carlson from the Washington Capitals. We'll hear from him a little bit later as well. But, Sean, you were right. It was a little over my head, but now I know about the history of the club. And it was a really enjoyable trip. And I'll tell you what, there were supposed to be four players from the Buffalo Sabres going on that trip. Four. That's all it was supposed to be. They have 27 players here. It ended up being 19 players going on that trip. And I wrote all about it. You can read it on NHL.com. Lots of pictures. But these guys all wanted to go. And the thing that struck me just from being with the guys, especially Peterka and Rasmus Dahlin, both of them said, man, I wish I could see their practice facility. They don't train at Allianz Arena, they Bayern Munich. Their practice about 25 minutes away on the other side of Munich. But that's what these athletes want to see. They want to see the gym. They want to see the facilities. They want to see, you know, what they have, you know, which is, I'm sure, best in class. And as Dahlin said, I want to compare it to what we have.
To me, the coolest thing was the standing in the tunnel, right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, I think it was JJ or it was Rasmus who said, could you imagine coming out to an NHL game, standing yeah. next to our opponent and staring them in the eye? That should happen.
Yeah, that was JJ Peterka who said that, and I think that would be really cool to do with the referees right in the middle of them. That you know, that's a soccer tradition, right? Right, Sean? I mean, that's yeah. what they do, and that would be very cool. But also, he was holding a Buffalo Sabres jersey, was Rasmus Dahlin. It was a Sabres Bayern Munich jersey, but now Rasmus Dahlin's going to have a new letter on his sweater. And that's the big news that the Sabres dropped while I was at Hofbrauhaus, by the way, last night, but it was local time, 2:30 or 3 o'clock in Buffalo. He's the new captain. I'm not surprised. As soon as they said, Sean, as soon as they said that they were going to have a captain, Dahlin was the obvious choice. What's interesting to me about it is what he said today at his press conference when he talked about it, and he said, I think I'm going to be part of something big here. It's been since 2011, since the Buffalo Sabres have made the playoffs, and Rasmus Dahlin thinks he's part of something big now. Do you think the Sabres are brewing something big?
How long have we had this conversation?
I know.
I don't know that I can go down that road again. First of all, there was no other choice other than Dahlin, right, to be the captain. I think he cemented it when he did the overseas trip this year to Switzerland for the training camp. Like, that's like Tom Brady kind of thing, right, where you bring everybody out in the summer and you team bond and you get some skating in and all that. So to me, there was no other choice. But to suggest, I think in the long run, yes, like, you forget, like, that this team's still really young, the way that they've built it. You know, your blogger, Owen Power, you know, is going to be one of the key pieces here. Dahlin's still young. Tage Thompson, all of those guys. So I think there is something here, and I think it's going to be playoff worthy. My question is it this year, right? Because who are they going to pass? You know, we've had this conversation. Like, who's falling out of that eight? I'm not sure who it is unless it's the Capitals.
That's the thing. But if it's the Capitals who are falling out, don't we expect the New Jersey Devils to jump in with everything that they've done? That's the expectation. So you look at it. Listen, being around the Sabres, you know, I've been impressed. Okay? I'll give you. Their practices are fast-paced. They're intense. There's a lot of work going on and a lot of work ethic in those practices. They're energetic practices. Now, we're just talking about, you know, a couple of training camp practices, but there's a lot of energy there. They're talking about a new style of play that they're going to adopt under Lindy Ruff now, an in-your-face style, attack, attack, attack. That's what the Devils did when they made the playoffs under Ruff, and they had 112 points. They attacked all over the ice. They were relentless. They were known for their speed, and they were in attack mode all the time, and that's the way the Sabres want to play. And there's pieces here for Buffalo. There are. I mean, Dahlin's one, Power's another, Peterka, Thompson, Tuck, Dylan Cousins, Jack Quinn. I mean, there's a lot of pieces. Matias Samuelsson's another one. UPL, the goalie, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He established himself a little bit last year. He's got to continue to prove it, but at least there's something to build on where there hadn't been anything to build on in net for the Sabres for a while. So you look all around, plus you add a guy who's a coach now with a winning pedigree, who's won a lot of wins in the National Hockey League, and just 2 years ago took a team to 112 points and into the playoffs. you got to look at a younger team. You look at it and say there's a lot of reasons for optimism. But then you look at their division and you look at the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you say, can they knock any one of those four off? And the question, you can't say yes to it now. So then you look on the other side, and I see two teams for sure in Carolina and the Rangers, and a third that I'm pretty sure is the Devils. Maybe Carolina's not a lock, right, because they've lost a lot, but there's three teams right there. So can Buffalo take out Washington? Can Buffalo take out the Islanders? Are they going to be good enough to be there, or are they going to have one of those two-week stretches that they've been known for, Sean, that knock them out, essentially knock them out, that seven- or eight-game stretch where maybe they pick up 2 or 3 points, and that's the stretch you look at in April, and you go, that's why they didn't get in. Is that going to happen again? Because that's what we've seen from Buffalo. They have to prove it otherwise.
You just convinced me, Dan. When I do my predictions, the Sabres are in, and either the Islanders or the Capitals are out.
Really?
It's the Lindy Ruff factor.
All right. I don't know that I'm there. I really don't know that I'm there, because I'll tell you what, I think Washington's better. We have John Carlson on here shortly, and he's going to talk about that, the additions that they made, and how they could be a better team than they were last year. They were not a very good team last year, and they got into the playoffs. Part of the reason that happened was the division wasn't very good. After really the Rangers and Carolina, and you can talk the Islanders too, I guess. And the other part is teams like Buffalo and Ottawa and Detroit didn't take the next step. But I think Washington's a better team, Sean. So I think it makes it a little even harder for Buffalo to crack in, because I don't see them cracking into in their own division. I think they're going to have to get in a wild card spot by taking out, one of the other division teams.
That's for sure what it's going to be, unless something drastic happens injury-wise on their side of the equation. But I think the Islanders are maybe a little weaker too, a lot weaker than they were last year. They barely made the playoffs. It was a fight to the end. And what did they add? Nothing. Right. And everybody around them added extensively. So we'll see. Hope springs eternal in Buffalo. Well, it actually springs eternal in Munich right now and then in Prague. But hope does spring eternal. And you know what? If it does happen, it's going to be great. And it's going to be such a payoff for the fans of Western New York who have suffered through what you've talked about, a 13 going on 14 year drought of the playoffs. I've actually covered hockey long enough to have covered the last time they were in the playoffs. And it was fantastic. It's one of those markets, right, that deserves playoff hockey.
Well, it hasn't had it in a long time, and I think one of the teams they'll be competing with is the team that they're playing next weekend, to open the regular season in the Global Series in Prague, the New Jersey Devils, Friday and Saturday in Prague. And Jack Hughes was one of the guys we talked to, a player media tour, and, new coach there as well. Irony being what it is, Lindy Ruff, the new coach of the Buffalo Sabres, his first two games with Buffalo are against his former team, the team that he was just fired by last year. But new coach with the Devils, new goaltender. So I'm at the point where, with everything that the Devils did in the offseason, the growth that you hope you see from Luke Hughes once he's back, Simone Nemec to Dougie Hamilton being back, a healthy Jack Hughes, I'm of the opinion that the Devils are as close to a lock for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year.
For sure, and I think Dougie Hamilton is a huge addition, right? It's almost like a trade because he was gone all of last year, and his importance to that team is almost immeasurable. And you think about the growth that Luke Hughes had and Nemec, and now some of that's taken away from them, right? Some of those big minutes Dougie Hamilton's going to take. And it's not a step back for those two young players. It's where they belong. It's where they should be slotted. Like, that's the beauty of adding a Dougie Hamilton. And then the goaltending's better. And I thought it was really interesting, and you'll hear in the conversation that we play with Jack Hughes in a minute, I tried to lay a lot on the feet of the goaltending last year, which is not my way. I'm usually a big goaltender supporter. But, it was historically not good last year for the Devils. And Jack wanted no part of it.
No.
It wasn't the goalies, according to him. It was the team. And so, and it's motivated him all year. You could tell in his voice it's motivated him the whole offseason. He looked great. He looked like he was ready to go. And then I think if you improve the team and the way that the team plays, and then you improve the goaltending by 10 to 15 to 20%, which I think is very reachable with Markstrom, you have a completely different team.
I think it was the goaltending. Jack's never going to say that. But he said a lot of other things too. So let's get to that interview we had with Jack Hughes. We talked to him at the Player Media Tour in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. Here is our interview with Jack Hughes.
Sean, we're here with the cover star, the cover athlete, one of three cover athletes for EA Sports. You've talked about it. I've read some stuff about it, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but just how cool is that?
Yeah, doing it with Quinn and Luke, obviously really special. I think we're the first set of brothers to be on the cover, so I think most NHL guys grew up playing NHL, so that was definitely a massive honor that, you know, we're lucky to be a part of.
Have you had fights over the rankings yet, over no. your player rankings? Who's got the no. best one? Do you know?
Yeah, we know. I think it's in the right order, I'd say, with how last year went.
All right. Do you still play?
I used to. When I was in, like, my third year in the league, I played a lot, honestly, I can't lie. And then I kind of was like, enough's enough. And I've never been much of a gamer, yeah. so. But that one year, I played a lot.
So did you play, were you yourself?
No, but I did enjoy playing Hut for a while there and grinding. That was pretty fun. So, like, that's honestly why it's the coolest part, just because, you know, we grew up playing it. And, yeah. like, that was, like, coming into the NHL, that was definitely a goal of mine. Like, I was like, oh, I would love to be on the cover one day. And then to do it with Quinn and Luke is even more special.
This season's going to be special for so many reasons. One, you guys are healthy again. You've added a lot during the offseason. People are really excited. And you start in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, the Europe part's definitely exciting. I think the last, like, week or so has been, I think, like a bit off in the whole hockey world with the Goudreau thing. So that's obviously sad, puts a damper on the season a little bit. But, you know, once we get going, I think we'll be excited to get to Europe and get the year going. So I think we got a good group and looking forward to get going.
Since you brought it up, I did want to ask you, I mean, he had such an impact on a lot of players. Did he have an impact on you?
No, I can't say I was like a massive fan in terms of like watching him play all the time and stuff. But, you know, I think the, you know, American players like to stick together a good amount. I don't know how other countries are, but I feel like with the USA Hockey guys, there's kind of a brotherhood there where, you know, people play with each other at Worlds or All-Star games, whatever it may be. So, you know, I played with them at Worlds, played with them on an All-Star game, and obviously I know a lot of people that were close to him, so just a sad thing for the whole family.
One of Johnny's great achievements, among many, was Team North America. He was the leading scorer for that team. You were a little bit behind that. I'm curious what your thoughts were in watching it and what you think the legacy of that team is when you think about all the players that were on that team and how great they all ended up being.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know he led that team in points. You know, I remember him from World Juniors when he was overseas and they won gold medal. I think Seth Jones was the captain. So that was like the first memory I have of watching him play. But yeah, that North American team is pretty crazy. You know, I was a young guy then. I was like 14 or 15. So watching that was pretty crazy, seeing where all those guys are now and that they're all on one team.
Flipping it back to you guys and your team and yourself, I mean, Sean touched on it. I mean, the additions are notable. Markstrom, Pesci, Dillon, Dougie's back. Dougie Hamilton's back. You're healthy. I would imagine you're healthy after shoulder surgery. Are you good to go?
Yeah, I feel good. And I'm excited going into the year, you know, feel like my body's in a really good spot. And with how the season went last year, you know, pretty frustrating with, you know, just personally not playing and, you know, the team really performing not how we were supposed to. So I think we got definitely a rejuvenated squad with new players and new coaching staff. And, you know, the guys that were there, we're excited to, you know, get back to where we were 2 years ago.
Because of the additions, because of the health factor right now and the optimism everybody has going into a season. Does it feel for you that this team can make last year just a blip and really what it is more of what you were 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, I think, I don't know if it's a blip. I think we underperformed big time last year, and that's on us, and that's something we're going to have to, you know, remember heading into this year. But it's a learning curve, and we're a group that's going to be hungry going into this year. But like I said, we got a lot of new faces and a new coaching staff, so a lot of new things going on in New Jersey. So camp will be important. You know, we'll be excited to go for the season.
You've done Europe once before, and with so many new players, how important is that trip going to be to bring everybody in and have that bonding experience?
Yeah, I'm it'll be big, you know. I don't know if it'll be like life or death, but, you know, it'll be good for the guys in the team that, you know, have kids and stuff, and all the new guys to kind of get acquainted with the group. And I think we have a really welcoming locker room to start with, so I don't think it'll be too hard for anyone to fit in. But, you know, for us to go overseas for about a week there and, you know, just be with the guys and just the boys and being able to be a team, that'll be pretty important for us, and I think an exciting time for our whole group.
Obviously, Sheldon Keefe being the new coach too, be helpful for him getting over there with you guys as well. What have you gotten from him so far? I'm sure you've talked to him a few times. Like, what's the vibe you get, and the conversation's been like?
Yeah, have had a few good talks with him. Haven't spoken to him face to face yet, so looking forward to do that. But you know, I watch the Leafs a lot. I watch how they play, and you know, I'm really looking forward to just picking his brain and, you know, developing a relationship where you know, I understand what he's doing and he understands the kind of person I am and the player I am. So I'm excited to get that going.
Last year, obviously, goaltending was one of the issues you've had. Tommy addressed it. How important is that going into a season when you know that you have two NHL goaltenders on your roster that have proven what they can do in this league?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to just use the goalies as a scapegoat for last year. I think that was like a minor problem to what we had. You know, we dealt with a lot of injuries. We lost some good pieces, and at the end of the day, we were kind of just a looser group, not as hard to play against. And, you know, we gave up too many chances, and we just thought we could probably outscore teams, you know. So worked for us in the past, and last year we got sloppy, I'd say. So obviously we got good goalies, and we're excited for Markey and Allen to be with our group this year, but I think the root of the problem is just how we played as a team, and hopefully we can clean that up for this year.
So do you want to forget about last season and move on from it, or does it serve as a useful tool?
I mean, I don't think you can forget about any season. You know, I mean, it's still my fifth year in the league. I'm always going to look back on it and be like, that was an up and down season, and you know, our team underperformed, but that should be something that helps us in the future. You know, I think a lot of people expected us to be a playoff team for good after we made the playoffs the 1 year, and you know, we took a step back, but that just means we'll be a hungrier group and, you know, a more focused group going into the season.
Dougie Hamilton's back too, and you didn't have him for really almost the whole season. I mean, it was a long time that he missed, and he plays such a vital role for you guys. To the impact that he makes when he's on the ice, I wonder if you could just describe it, what he does to help you guys with the role that he plays.
Yeah, I mean, we brought in Luke and Nemec, who both had great years, and you know, they're going to be massive, you know, parts of our future here. And but at the end of the day, Dougie did have 74 points, so it's hard to replace 22 goals and 74 points or whatever he had. And you know, he's got that big shot on the back end and just another threat. I think if we can go into a game with Luke and Dougie and these guys coming off from the back end, you know, it's pretty dangerous just being able to hit these guys late and create chances off the rush. So I think Dougie just adds another layer to our game where we're a little more dangerous and more offense on the back end, where we can kind of not just roll him over with one line, but, you know, we throw Luke over one line and we roll him over, then we throw Dougie on, and then we throw Nemec. You know, that's pretty good for offensive defensemen. So that'll be pretty good for our group.
He's such an interesting guy, Dougie Hamilton. A ton of different interests. He did that video when you guys announced your schedule, which he was hilarious. And I'm curious what he does for your team in the locker room and off the ice.
Yeah, Dougie, I didn't even see that video. I don't even know what you're talking about. But Dougie's a super nice guy. Really, really nice guy, honestly. You know, not a bad bone in his body. So he's definitely not the loudest guy or, you know, the biggest leader in the group. But, you know, I think he's a guy that most guys on the team can go talk to and have a good combo with. And he's a really caring and nice guy. So not having him around was definitely different last year. And, you know, be nice to have him back in the locker room.
All right, the big question. What's Luke's living situation? Is he living with you again, or is he getting his own place?
Just under my wing. No, but we're going to live together again.
Yeah.
I don't see why we...
Why not, right?
We wouldn't. Like, why wouldn't you want to live with your bro?
Yeah.
You know?
Is he a good roommate?
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's my brother, so...
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, like, all over him. Like I lived with him my whole life, so now he's just happens to be way bigger and... even messier, but he's a good roommate.
Well, I was going to say the dynamic changes, right? Without parents around, enforcing discipline and everything else, you guys have to do that among yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm busting him about, you know, things. I'm just letting him do his thing, so he's doing okay.
He really has come along. What did you see from him last year in terms of his growth and the impact that he made in his first full season and what he can now be?
Yeah, I mean, I think something that's, you know, not spoken about enough is the fact he played all 82 games. You know, that's, in my mind, that's really impressive going from college. And, you know, I think when kids leave college, they're always talking about how they'll adjust to the pros playing 40 games to go in to play 82. And, you know, Luke played 82 hockey games, and I think that's really impressive. And then on top of that, you know, he had a good season offensively. And he's just going to continue to grow his game. You know, I think he's different than Quinn in terms of he's bigger, he defends better. And I just think Luke will be a hell of a player. But, you know, I think the product we see at 21 is going to be a lot different than 25. But I think with the way he's trending, we're gonna have a hell of a player this season and the season's coming ahead, the same thing.
You talked about doing the EA cover with your two brothers. Did you guys spend any time this summer talking about the Four Nations and the opportunity that sits there in a couple of months to do something very similar and very notable as a family?
Honestly, not really. I mean, the three of us lived together in our house, and we didn't even... I don't think we talked about that once. You know? I don't know if we were really talking about that, but we were definitely excited for Quinn when he got named to that team. And then regarding me and Luke, we just want to put our best foot forward and we'll see where it goes.
I did have one last question for you. We recently talked with Macklin Celebrini, number one draft pick, yeah, coming into the league. Any advice for him?
No, he'll be just okay. You know, he's a really good kid and a really good player. So, I honestly haven't tuned into a Sharks game in a long time, but I'm gonna be keeping tabs on Mac for sure.
I have to ask you one last question too. This is the 20th year that Sidney Crosby's going to be playing in the league. Do you have a favorite Crosby memory?
I think like growing up, he had a movie when in like 2009 when they went on that cup run against the Wings. And it was the year they played the Winter Classic. So I grew up, me and my brothers, we watched that movie in Miracle on Ice like hundreds of times. It was like, I think it was called Sidney Crosby on the Ice and Beyond. And probably the Winter Classic shootout goal. Like that's a classic Sid moment. I'm sure if you're a Canadian, it's got to be his Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
But I hate seeing that. But...
all three of us hate seeing
all three
that.
Of us.
And
yeah,
two of us saw it live, we and we really it hated it.
20 years is crazy, though, because he was like Sid the Kid, and now he's like in his 20th year. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Him and Ovi both.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You'll get there one day. Jack, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it, all right?
Yeah.
Sean, that was really good stuff there with Jack Hughes. Yet another one of those player media tour interviews that we've got. We've got a handful of them. We'll be playing them here as we go on in future episodes as well. Another one coming up here shortly is with John Carlson, who I thought was terrific when we sat down with him. I mean, this guy, I think he led the league in ice time last year. He played so much, you know, for a team that honestly was not that good. And we touched on it a little bit before the Capitals, before we, you know, we got to Hughes. The Capitals, they were a playoff team last year, but they were a minus 37 goal differential team. They got in, they were banged up in, and they had no chance against the New York Rangers. But I think that they are better. I do. Jacob Chychrun is a nice addition for them. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I don't know what he's going to bring. I honestly don't know what he's going to do for that team, but if he brings his skill and he plays that way, there that's a nice pickup for the Washington Capitals, who need that type of skill infused into their lineup. They really do. And, you know, they still have Carlson on the back end. They've got a few others. I think that this team could still be a playoff team, Sean. I really do. And I think from what I saw last year, in his first year as an NHL coach, I was impressed with Spencer Carberry and everything he got out of that group.
He did a fantastic job. He should have been, you know, one of the finalists for Coach of the Year, for sure. You know, when you look at that team, look, I think, you know, when you look at the minus 37, I think you look at some of the games that they lost that were just huge losses, right? Where they gave up a couple and they kind of, as a veteran team sometimes does in the middle of the season, says, we're not coming back on this one and let's save our energy for the next one. And all of a sudden it's 7-1. I don't know that they're better. Chychrun is a valuable addition, and I think he'll help them. But they lost Jensen. So I'm not saying that's a wash, but there is a little bit of you gained something and you lost something. It's all going to come down to Pierre-Luc Dubois. When you look at what he's done across his career and the impact that he's had on teams, both positively and negatively, it could very well and likely will come down to what he does, mostly on the ice, but also off the ice. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to find a way to integrate him into that team and find a way to get the best hockey out of him and for him to be content, right? He's one of those players that hasn't been content for a long time.
For a very long time. And you're talking about a team, Sean, that last season made the playoffs despite being 28th in the league in goals, 2.63 goals per game. They gave up 3.07. So that's what we talk about, their minus goal differential. I mean, the 3.07, listen, you can live with that, right? I mean, you can, if your offense is better, you can live with that. You can live with giving up three a game, right? I mean, listen, the Colorado Avalanche gave up the same amount of goals per game as the Washington Capitals last year. We never questioned the Avalanche, right? Because we knew they could score. They scored a lot. Washington's got to beef up its offense, and that's where Dubois comes in. It really does, and that's if he can be the addition that helps this team get closer to three goals a game, that to me is a magic number for them. You know, they were able to get in a down year for the division, and it helped in a big way, like I mentioned before, that Buffalo didn't play well, that Ottawa didn't, Detroit didn't, right? Well, I think Ottawa's going to be better. I'm pretty sure Buffalo's going to be better. I think Detroit's going to be better. Maybe all three aren't going to be better than they were last year, but you're going to get more out of at least one or two of those teams. And that means to me Washington's got to beef up its offense. And that's why I agree with you. It comes right down to, yeah, I mean, listen, it comes to Ovechkin and other guys too, but it comes to the new guy on the offense who can score, and that's Dubois.
It comes down to depth, too. You know, Oshie's probably not going to play this year. You know, he showed up at camp and he wasn't ready to play, and who knows how long before he comes back. And he was in the decline last year because of the injury. But they had three guys that had 20 goals.
Yeah.
That's it, right? And then you get down to like Connor McMichael, who's going to be a good player, first round pick. You know, Tom Wilson's probably going to be a little better than he was last year. He only had 18 goals last year. But then it's guys like Sonny Milano and Nick Dowd and LaPierre, who's another first round pick who you're hoping is going to come, and Kubel and all of those guys. And you're like, is this a forward roster of a playoff team? And I don't know that the answer is yes.
Well, it was last year, and they managed to get in. Of course, they did nothing when they got in. Before we get to Carlson, though, I did want to mention, with Washington, the division's not any better. The Rangers are the same. The Devils are better. Carolina's probably worse. The Islanders are even or worse, and a lot of that comes down to Sorokin and when he's going to be ready to go. Pittsburgh, not so sure. Philadelphia, still rebuilding. Columbus, probably not, and obviously dealing with a lot going on there. So you look at it, Washington's going to be in the thick of it, Sean. The division itself is not that good.
Yeah, they'll be around the playoffs all year because of where they're located and, you know, division-wise and what they have in their high-end talent. But I don't know if they get across the finish line, and if they do, they're first-round fodder again.
Probably, yeah. Well, right, anyway, listen,
you're playing one of those top two teams.
Yeah.
And you know, so unless they add at the deadline in a major way, which I don't know that they can do, I just don't see this being a deep enough team to be a serious threat in the East.
And look, they have Alex Ovechkin, and everybody's going to be watching him because he's going after Wayne Gretzky's goal record, and that's going to be huge news throughout the season in the NHL. And we talked to John Carlson about that, Sean. So let's get to that interview with the Capitals veteran defenseman. We spoke to him as well at Player Media Tour. Here's the interview with John Carlson.
John, thanks for joining us. So last year the Capitals get in and get swept, and everybody seemed to be hurt at the same time.
Yeah.
You added a lot of different pieces this offseason. I'm curious now, what is your level of excitement but also confidence about what you were able to do last year, the experience you gained, and now with the additions that you made?
Yeah, I think without last year, maybe we don't do the same thing. So it's kind of a vote of confidence from management and what we were able to do. And, you know, we fought all the way through the whole year, which was very rewarding in a different way. I thought I was very proud with what we did. And yeah, this will be the biggest turnover, the biggest kind of new faces, fresh faces that, you know, at the start of a year that I've ever, you know,
yep,
since I've been here. So I think excitement is a great word. I think there's a lot of players that are great players coming to us at a, you know, kind of pivotal time in their careers that are you know, it's important to mesh, obviously, and all that, and I'm sure we'll deal with that as it comes. But yeah, from an outlook, I think we're really excited to have them, and I think we really got better.
Does it almost become a different training camp because you just talked about how many new faces there are? And if there's one thing that the Washington Capitals have been, it's been consistent. It's been a very consistent lineup throughout. And now, not only do you have to integrate all these people into your system, maybe you haven't played different systems, but you have to integrate them into your culture. So does training camp become less about X's and O's and more about people?
Yeah. I think that other side of it kind of gets talked about a little bit too much. I think, you know, pretty much every team now is doing similar things. So from that standpoint, there's definitely some, you know, some gelling to do and all that. But I think there's probably more just getting everybody comfortable. I think that's bigger than maybe, oh, we got to see this guy with this guy and whatnot. I think it's more, you know, you bring a guy into your team, you want him to feel as comfortable as possible. You're going to get more out of him. He's going to play better. He's going to feel better about the situation, and you know, the results will be better for that. So I think it's more just, you know, bringing everybody in, getting them to feel comfortable with each other, whether that's off the ice or on the ice. And I think we're primed for a good product on the ice.
How do you do it? 34 years old, you lead the NHL in ice time. You're playing every other shift, it seems like. What do you do to keep yourself in that, forget about in shape, obviously, but like just to have that ability to do that and continue to play at that high level?
Yeah, I don't know. You just, there's really no other choice in a way. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, There's times where you don't feel you got your best stuff. You don't have your fastball, and you got to find ways to survive and advance in some situations. But I've always kind of told myself that I want to be on the ice in the most impactful ways. I want to be a part of the power play. I want to play on the penalty kill. I want to be that kind of guy. And when you get those opportunities, you don't say no to them. So it is what it is.
Do you think, though, with the additions you made, Matt Roy, Jacob Chychrun, that maybe you'll get a little bit – maybe they'll scale back a little bit and if need be, keep you a little bit fresher?
I think so. I think that would be welcomed. I think – that's probably the goal, and those guys are I've been skating with them a little bit here already, and just fantastic players, fantastic additions. I think they're going to be real key cogs for us, and I think that's all part of the process.
Are there tricks that you have to learn to play that many minutes? Like, there were a couple of times late in the season when you approached 40 minutes, right? And they're big. It's not a December game against Ottawa, nothing mm-hmm. against just not a regular run-of-the-mill game. These are huge games, and you're playing 40 minutes. Are there kind of tricks of the trade you have to learn to save a little something?
Well, I think everybody's got different styles. I think, some guys are burners where they don't read a play a certain way. They're going as hard as they possibly can, and I think that's probably impossible for a guy like that to play a lot of minutes. But, I hate to use the word conserve, but you find ways to get around. And like I said before, at the end of the day, everybody in the NHL wants those minutes. They're never going to tell the coach, oh no, I'm that's a little bit too much for me or whatever. So you just try to go out there and do your best, whether you're playing 15, 18 minutes a night or 30. It doesn't matter. I think you approach it with the same mentality every single game.
Alex Ovechkin, you ever hear of him?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah.
Okay. He needs 41 goals to tie Gretzky, if my math is correct.
And I think so,
they said
yeah.
There'd be no math, but we're looking at math. If he wants to do it in the same number of games, I think it's 61 games. Can he score 41 and 61 this season?
I think 61's lofty. but, the one thing that I've learned is to never count him out. And he's just constantly, year after year, just been scoring 50 goals seemingly his whole career. So would it surprise me? Not at all. We're all cheering for him. It's a hell of a run he's been on, and I think we all take pride in that record for him.
What's it like to play with Ovi? Can you explain? Like, he's one of those transcendental players that you play with. Like, mm-hmm. he goes beyond hockey, right?
Yeah.
People know him outside of hockey. He's a national icon. Like, there's so many aspects to him. What's it like to be around a guy like that that's so big?
Yeah, no, it's I think that's what makes him great too, is his personality and his love for the game, his kind of his attitude towards the game. I think that's what's made him as big. Obviously, scoring 800 goals is helps along the way too, but he always had that big personality, that big smile. He always was excited to go out there, and he's a physical player too, for playing as long as he has at the level that he has, and the way that he's had to change his game over the years too, and to be physical and to be as durable as he has been. He's a freak. I don't know how he does it.
Let's just say he gets the record, right? All right, 41 goals. Let's say he gets the record. How long does he have it? Does Austin Matthews catch him?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, if you look back at where Ovi was at his age, he was ripping off 50, 60 mm-hmm. goal seasons at that time. And, I know maybe I think Austin is maybe a little bit ahead of him or whatever, but I mean, how many years has Ovi been in the league now? I mean, it's that's what makes it so incredible. Where, I played with him a long time, and for 90% of my career, this record was not even really talked about. It was like maybe you think he could ever have a chance? Like, oh, maybe everyone. Well, maybe we'll see. And then it was 50 goals, 55 goals, 50 goals, 55 goals. And then you stack, 15. Yeah. 18 years or whatever he's played, And you're like, holy smokes. And now we're talking about it like, you know, it could happen this year. And that's so I think one without the other, I think people would, if Ovi wasn't so close, it wouldn't get talked about as much as about Austin. Although just as deserving to be talked about. But I think everyone living through Ovi's run has maybe made that seem more real or optimistic for that. And that's great for the game.
You've lived through a lot of Ovi. It's going to be 20 years, by the way, this year. This is his 20th season. It's also Sidney Crosby's 20th season. And you've lived through that rivalry for over a decade.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of it?
Well, I just love how impactful they are in the league. You know, they were the face of the league, you know, one against the other in every picture for seemingly 10 years. And just how successful they both were, how much respect they have for one another, how different they are, albeit, you know, and also, you know, carrying the league on their shoulders for so many years. It's no easy task. And, you know, I've had to play a lot of games against Crosby, which is not the easiest thing in the world either. So, but yeah, I think they've both been great for the game, growing the game, being professionals, and you know, both of them on the cusp of many, many records.
You walked into that rivalry when it was white hot, when everybody believed, whether it's right or wrong, that they did not like each other. Are you surprised that they've reached the detente that they have and that they can be as friendly as they are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would probably always say, you know, I guess everything hypes it up, and sure, I'm sure they both had plenty of time on the ice where they hated each other, but that's normal. I think everybody hates each other when they're on the ice, and as you stack up so many great years and great seasons and you get a little older and you start recognizing just what each of them has done, I think it becomes a lot easier to maybe share in the weight of both that they both had on their shoulders and enjoy each other for, you know, for carrying that together. I think that's it's a special thing that they've done for their careers, and they're still going.
They're obviously both hoping to play their entire career with one team. You have a chance to do that too. Are you at the point in your career where that becomes meaningful?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always you know, I think I've always said that. I've always kind of since I got drafted there, I've loved it there. It's as close to where I grew up. Obviously they were a fantastic team my whole career, which is a huge plus too. Great ownership and management. So there's nothing really else to want in an organization. So from that standpoint, it was easy. And yeah, I take a lot of pride in it, and you know that it's rare, know that it doesn't happen often. And if it ends up that way, I'll be thrilled.
You still got a lot of time left, but I'm along the same lines playing with this one team. Your numbers are good. Your games played are good. You're one of the top defensemen for a number of years in this league. Do you ever think about the Hall of Fame?
No, not at all. I think that's...
You never do that as a player, right?
No, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe some guys do. I've kind of never thought too much in the future. You know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of time where I can think about that. But yeah, as of now, I'm just having fun playing the game that I love and enjoying it and trying to be as impactful as I can. And I think that's, you know, that's my mentality. That's my focus right now. And, you know, maybe ask me in a few years. I don't know. It might be different.
Who's the guy that gives you the most fits on the ice?
Well, you know, I would say McDavid's probably just, you know, kind of in a league of his own. I think the speed that he can create and turn on McKinnon the same way, you know, all these players, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to him by just saying a few guys, which you know, but he's an unbelievable talent that, you know, I've played against a lot of good players, and it just seemingly right now seems to stand on his own.
How different is the league now versus when you came in?
Yeah, extreme.
What's different about?
Well, yes, it is extremely different, and I would say just the depth on its own is the biggest contrast. I mean, I think there used to be kind of like a set kind of you know, feeling to almost every lineup. And I know when I came in, maybe our third line was a little more offensive than most teams' third line. And that was a big change. But, you know, each line kind of had an identity, and that's how it was. And now it's just like, you know, who can fill the net, who can fly down the wing, who can, you know, make plays. And you know, it's a better product for it. But I think that's the biggest difference is, you know, you're looking for ways to score goals. And that's priority number one for every team.
Is there a guy in the league that you watch and try and learn from defensively?
I don't, you know, with the schedule being so crazy, I don't get to watch a ton of hockey. You know, if we're on the road or something, and I'll watch. I think that, you know, Roman Josi is a guy that just fantastic player to me that maybe and he's a lefty, but I love watching him play. I think there's plenty of guys. I think you could take a lot from anybody. I think there's so many different types of talents in this league right now, and that's the exciting thing, and I'm sure for the fans right now is, you know, you can fall in love with the team, you can fall in love with a few superstars, but the depth of those guys really goes deep right now, and it's fun to be a part of.
John, thanks so much, man. This was great. Really appreciate you stopping by, all right?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good stuff there with John Carlson, and obviously we talked about Ovechkin going after the record, going after Wayne Gretzky's record. I think, Sean, you and I can both agree, and I hesitate to say that without you speaking up because I don't know that we agree all the time, but I think we both agree that Ovechkin's going to get the record at some point. Do you believe that?
Well, I believe he's going to get the record. I don't believe he's going to do it this year.
Okay, but he's going to get the record at some point. So it will be Alex Ovechkin's record.
Yes, it will be Alex Ovechkin's record.
Will it soon enough be Auston Matthews' record? Because Auston Matthews is on a better pace right now than Alex Ovechkin was through the same number of games played. I believe Matthews right now has 368 goals in 562 games. At the 562 game mark, Ovechkin had 341. I don't know what Gretzky had, okay? But Matthews, 69 goals last season, 60 goals two seasons ago. He's going to get the Toronto Maple Leafs goal record. He's currently 52 away from Matt Sundin, who was at Maple Leafs training camp and spoke about that to our Dave McCarthy, who has it on NHL.com. And I mean, we can all agree that Auston Matthews is going to get the Toronto Maple Leafs goal record, and Matt Sundin agrees with it as well, and he thinks it should be so. But I think that it's early, but Matthews will eventually, if he continues at his pace, Matthews will eventually be talked about in the going after Alex Ovechkin's goal record.
Yeah, and I think that'll come relatively quickly. I think there's a caveat in there in that Matthews got to that number of games quicker than Ovechkin did chronologically because of lockouts and other things. He's going to play more games in a quicker period of time, most likely, barring injury. So I think that record is reachable, and you've kind of seen the offense tick up, right? I think when Ovi started, you were just coming out of the clutch and grab, right? All those rules were changed after the lockout, but it took a while for them to take effect and for the shooters to really have the advantage. Whereas I think you have that now, and you see, you know, the save percentage is kind of going down a little bit, as shooters tend to have more of an advantage going forward. So, you know, I think Auston Matthews will challenge. I don't know if he'll get there because it's the end that's hard, right? I think one of Ovi's great attributes is he never breaks, right? The Russian machine never breaks.
Right.
And it's hard to do. And it's hard to do at the end of your career because of the wear and tear and everything else that goes on. So to me, that might be the difference-making point. Like, you could see them going together for a long time, and then when Matthews gets older, I'm curious if he can keep up the same pace as Ovi did in his final years.
Well, that's going to be the big challenge for Auston Matthews. And also, the big challenge is going to be, I think, the desire, too. Like, it's been a long run for Alex Ovechkin. He's played a lot of hockey, a lot of hard hockey, and he continues to go at it. But that doesn't mean the same is going to be for Austin Matthews, and that's not a knock on Austin Matthews. I mean, it's just things change. We don't know, you know, if that's all going to stay for him the way it has for Ovechkin. And now you can clearly see a motivated Ovechkin because he's so close to the record that to Gretzky's record. In fact, you know, today he stands at 853 goals. The record's 894. And so he's 41 away, right, from tying it. But I will take a little umbrage with what you just said. Ovechkin lost games during the 2012-13 lockout. I believe it was, you know, 34 games or something like that they lost that season. That's it. He lost games in 2019-20 when COVID hit. So did Austin Matthews. They played a shortened season the next year. So did Austin Matthews. So you were saying it comes, you know, could come quicker for Matthews just for what Ovechkin's dealt with. Ovechkin has been remarkably healthy for his entire career, basically. And that's a big reason why he is so close, too. But Matthews is going to need a lot on his side. He's going to need that health. He's going to need that drive. He's going to need his body to not break down. All of those things, but he has all the tools. That's the point. And I think that's Matt Sundin made that point too when he was talking to Dave McCarthy and other media members there in Toronto, because he brought this up as well.
If I'm not mistaken, though, did not Alex Ovechkin lose a full year?
Well, he would have been a rookie. He would have been a rookie that year, right? So I guess you could say.
How many goals did he score in his rookie year?
Are we sure he would have come over and played that year? We don't know that.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, there was a struggle to get him over in 2005. Talk to George McPhee about this, and he gave a great story about this, how he had to really call Ovechkin's parents. McPhee at the time was the Washington Capitals general manager, and he had to call Ovechkin's parents. They had a meeting, in fact, where he had to pretty much guarantee he was going to take care of them, take care of their boy. And then one day, he got a call from Alex. I'm here. Where should I go? Ovechkin just came to Washington. They didn't know he was coming. McPhee took him into his home, and he lived with him for a little bit. And that's how they started to take care of him. But there wasn't a lot. It was not a lock that he was coming over. There was a lot of negotiation that went involved.
He wouldn't have had the same negotiation the year before. He scored 52 goals his rookie year, and he got it taken away from him.
Okay. All right. Listen, you're right. You're right. By the way, speaking of Ovechkin, Russian hockey player. There's another one, right? Coming, Michkov from Philadelphia. The season preview for the Flyers is actually up on NHL.com right now. Adam Kimmelman did it. And he asked a great question in that season preview about Michkov. Who does he play with? Couturier, who's the defensive-minded center, and you know, the number one center, but he's the defensive-minded type of center who clearly would take a lot of that responsibility from Matvei Michkov, or does he go with like a Morgan Frost, who is the playmaker, who can get on the puck, you know, and will dazzle a little bit in that way, but the line could be broken down defensively quite easy. I thought it was a very interesting question, and I think it's something probably in Philadelphia right now they're wrestling with, along with John Tortorella, trying to wrestle down Michkov and, you know, tame him a little bit, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think you have half the year to experiment, right? Well, you have the whole year to experiment,
yeah.
Because there's not great things expected out of the Philadelphia Flyers. Look, there's a lot of excitement for Michkov. You know, I've had conversations with Adam Kilman, and you know, there's comparisons of when Lindros came. I almost said Gretzky, which would have been wild. But when Lindros came to Philadelphia, and the excitement then. You know, and you know, I don't know the player very well. I think we've all seen glimpses of him. He's certainly been impressive in his first couple of preseason games. You know, maybe you make the Kaprizov comparison and kind of see that kind of growth. But I don't think they need an answer right now. That's the beauty of this, is that they get to experiment and figure out what they want to do. And I think John Tortorella is really good at that. Everybody's like, oh, John Tortorella, he's so hard on players. He's this, he's that, he's the other thing. His motto when the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup under him was safe as death.
You're right. That's the way he still thinks. It's going to be interesting to see how it does play out there in Philadelphia. Sidebar, side note to this. I thought it was awesome that John Tortorella brought Guy Gaudreau in to help run a practice with the Flyers. Obviously, the father of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau, who just passed away tragically, obviously, in the accident. And he brings him in because Gaudreau's a hockey guy, and he has done so much for the area in Philadelphia and South Jersey. And he brought him in, and he helped him run a practice, and they want to do it again. That's a side of John Tortorella that not a lot of people see, Sean, to, you know, that side. And I thought it was it might be, as we continue on through the entire National Hockey League season, that still might be one of the coolest things and most noteworthy things anybody will do this season.
My favorite part of that story is Guy Gaudreau telling John Tortorella to stop yelling at the players.
Yes. You only got three lines out here. What do you expect from
you're yelling? You're yelling too much.
Yeah.
But again, it is. It's a part of John Tortorella that he doesn't publicize. Right? He didn't publicize this. He didn't call all the cameras and say, hey, we're bringing Gaudreau out. You know, look at me. I'm such a good guy. He's a good guy behind the scenes, right? His public persona is not that of a good guy. It's of a yelling, sometimes raving coach who, you know, has a chip on his shoulder and is ready to challenge anybody. But he has a really good side with his players, I think, that we don't see a lot. And you know, we've talked about and we've written about before that all the stuff he does with animals, you know, and his soft side when it comes to that. I think, to me, John Tortorella is one of the most complex, in a good way, people in the game of hockey, and I have all the time in the world for him.
Yeah, and he wants to bring Gaudreau back into the fold with the Flyers for a practice too, and he doesn't want him to just come in to make an appearance. He wants him to help run a practice because he's a hockey coach. So it's a really wonderful thing that they did there. Two other things to note before we get out of here. One, the docuseries coming up, Prime Video's Face Off Inside the NHL Part 1 launches on Amazon on Prime Video October 4th. It features William Nylander and David Pastrnak in the first episode. And then as the episodes go on, you're going to see Matthew Tkachuk and Philip Forsberg, Jacob Trouba and Quinn Hughes, Jack Eichel, Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Gabriel Landeskog, and Jeremy Swayman. So some huge names. And they're really going behind the scenes. We've seen a lot of these behind the scenes documentaries before. This one should be very interesting, taking you behind the scenes. And I think it does take you into that moment on the bench last year where William Nylander and Mitchell Marner had a bit of a moment, and Nylander, you know, said a few things. So that's always interesting. So that's coming up October 4th. Just wanted to put a little plug out for that, Sean. And the last thing was Utah. Utah played their first game at the Delta Center, a preseason game. 11,131 people were there, Sean. They established this franchise April 18th. They played a game on September 23rd. It's amazing how they did it.
It is, and let me just backtrack for 1 second on the Amazon thing. I thought it was really interesting. McDavid said last week, you know, there had been a couple of clips, and they had the big premiere in Toronto on the 23rd. And he's like, you know, you say that we never let the media in. You better not say that after this, because this series shows us at our most vulnerable. And that's awesome. And it's very uncomfortable. It's something that hockey culture doesn't really like and has never embraced, but it's what's sold to every other sport, right? Is the vulnerability of the players and the fact that they're human. So I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, you look at Utah and for them to have that game, because everybody's like, oh, they just took all of Arizona's players, and what's the big deal? It's a huge deal. What they had to accomplish in finding a practice rink and selling tickets and doing all these things and moving everybody from Arizona to Utah, including the staff, all the hockey staff went there, was unbelievable. I talked to their GM, Bill Armstrong, at the rookie showcase in L.A., and he's like, I was a counselor. to my staff for most of the summer because they all had problems. They got there, I can't get my electricity hooked up. I can't do this. You know, there were all these fires that had to be put out while dealing with free agency, while running a rookie camp, while doing all of the things that every other hockey team does that they've done in the same place for 20 years or more. And here's Utah figuring it all out as they go along. And now they're ready to play, and they should be a competitive team in the West this year.
And there's definitely fan interest. The sellout, obviously, is important, 11,131. But a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, lives out there. He went to school at the University of Utah, Sean, and he lives out there now. In fact, you know, his mother and my mother have been very close friends since they were kids, and my mom just went out and visited there. And he was texting me saying, you know, he's got friends of his that are buying up season tickets, that he just got tickets for a few games, that the market's all pumped up, that they're so excited for that. And Nick Kotsenika, our columnist, you know, and our colleague, was there, and he wrote a great story off of the game. And it's obvious that the market is pumped for this team. And the beauty of this too, Sean, and you brought it up, they're getting a team at the right time for the team. That team is not, maybe not quite ready to pop, but it's close. So they're getting a team that they can really, really sink their teeth into and get behind.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they're the Colorado Avalanche.
No,
relocated from Quebec and won the cup in their first year. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they're not going to suffer through the growing pains that other markets have suffered through in bringing teams to their market. This is a team that should be highly competitive throughout this season.
Definitely. All right. Well, listen, this was fun. I got a hockey game I got to get to. We got the Sabres are playing in the Global Series Challenge against Red Bull Munich tonight, as just a couple hours after we're done recording this. And then couple more. Then I got an Oktoberfest, a date with Oktoberfest, Sean. And then it'll be off to Prague eventually for the start of the regular season next weekend, October 4th and 5th, Devils and Sabres. It's right around the corner now.
Yeah, well, two things, Dan. If you don't get a currywurst before you leave Munich, I may never talk to you again.
Maybe I won't get it.
Yeah, well, that'll end the podcast, so you might want to try it. And the second thing is, you know, you talked about Andre Palat and the insider's view of Prague. You don't need that. I just sent you my Cliff Notes this week. You're all set.
I am all set. It was a detailed email on all the things to do. I've been to Prague twice though, but you detailed it out. And so next week, if we do this next week, when we do this next week, I will update our audience on what I have done. Mike Morial is joining me there. What we have done on your list, along with what's going on with the Sabres and Devils. But until then, the preseason continues on. You got the Sabres and Red Bull tonight, and the team's still going on in North America. I'm here in Munich. Enjoy the hockey.